Open your Bibles, Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, title of the message, focused on the wrong one. No updates on your father-in-law, and so we'll get an update. Remind me after that. I'll forget while I'm preaching, but continue to keep Chris's dad in your prayers as he's undergoing triple bypass surgery as we speak. And so God brings him to your mind even as I'm preaching. Just ask the Lord's will to be done. We want the Lord's will to be done. And, you know, we can ask that the surgeons would bless and he would come out of the surgery, but we want God's will to be done. Title of the message today, focused on the wrong one. I'm going to go back to verse 24 last week. I really didn't get to complete that, but I think there's going to be a bookend. You know what I mean by bookends? It's you got the beginning of the book, the end of the book, and I think verses 24 through 36, you're going to see this. And let's just begin with verse 24 here. Jesus speaking, he that is not, verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Verse 27, and it came to pass as he spake these things. So he continues just while he's speaking these things. A certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he, Jesus, said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Verse 29, when the people were gathered thick together. I mean, I just love the descriptions of the Bible. So, I mean, this was a crowd thick. It was a thick crowd. It was a, you know, I mean, elbow to elbow. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. That's pretty bold words. Let's see why he says that. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Verse 31, the queen of the south, queen of Sheba, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment. She came in Solomon's time. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Tell the message again, focused on the wrong one. First thought I want you to see here is Jesus didn't come to empty but to fill. I mentioned that at the invitation last week, but it's really what he's talking about here, right? Remember when he started telling him this, they had accused him. We preached this last week. They had accused Jesus of removing demons by the power of the devil, by the power of Beelzebub. And so he was giving them great illustrations. And then he transitions to this thought. Look at verse 24. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. It is, and when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. This is so important. There's confusion. I think there's confusion in the Lord's churches. That why did Jesus come? He didn't come to fix your life. He came to save you from your sins. And so I want you to know this. It's everybody is looking for a better life. Everybody's looking for, I've got to stop doing these things. I've got to be a better person. That's the average response I get. Had a conversation with a guy in South Africa over and over again. He said, but you don't understand. I'm trying that. I'm trying to do better. I said, it's not about being better. It's about knowing the one that is the best, Jesus Christ. So, but there's a simple principle here that is dramatic. When Jesus saves, he does change you. When Jesus saves, you should see your life begin to change. And you should see your life begin to empty of the stuff that you used to fill it with. And so this man that Jesus uses in the illustration, he is healed in the evil spirit, and the evil spirit is removed. But unless that is filled with Christ and godliness to follow, this is what will happen. You will turn back to the old way, and you'll be worse than you were in the first place. You see, Jesus isn't interested in, he is interested in us having a good life, but it's only in him. He didn't come to fix you. He came to save you from your sins. There's a dramatic difference. And when you get your eyes on Christ, then everything else will fall into place. This passage this morning is so America, and maybe it's the world. They were surrounded with Jesus, his miracles, and his preaching, and all that he was. God in the flesh was with them, and yet they weren't impressed. They were yawning. They weren't impressed. You know, and that's why Jesus uses the illustrations. But Jesus didn't come empty but to fill. I want to show you just a simple principle. This is super important. If you're a Christian, you want to walk with God. You want to stop doing things that are bad and start doing things that are right. Just a simple principle. Colossians chapter 3. I'm glad I went back to it today because I didn't cover this last week. This is the put off, put on principle. You take something off, and when you're a Christian, you want to do what's right, and you want to stop doing those things that are bad. Again, that's not why Jesus came, but it's a result. When Jesus saves, he sanctifies you. He sets you apart under righteousness, and you have a new desire to do what's right, but you still have this flesh that never wants to do what's right. We'll see that tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The natural man never receives the things of God. Your flesh will never receive the things of God, period. Before you were saved, after you're saved, your flesh doesn't get saved. Your flesh will die. But now here's the key, is if you're a Christian, you know, just like Jesus used this illustration, this man was healed of demon possession, and he didn't fill it with God. Look at this, he says, "Look, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." So this is a description of Christianity. That you must put on Christ. You put on Christ in faith, and you turn, you repent. You turn from all your sin. You turn from dependence on anything. You turn in faith to Christ. And so you put off the old man. I no longer want to serve the old man. And you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So it's this. It's every single person in here, if you're a Christian, you're a schizophrenic. You're bipolar. You have an old man, and you have a new man. And they war with one another. You understand that? It is you. Now, it's different than, because before you're saved, you have a conscience. You see, that's not the same. But the old man would be this flesh. It could be the old woman, the new woman. God uses mankind in that instance, so don't get all hung up on that. But the old man is this flesh. And the new man is the real Steve. The new man never sins. But I'm responsible for this flesh. And this flesh always wants to sin. I've been given all the ability I need to overcome this flesh. But what I have to do is I must put on Christ daily. I must put on holiness daily. I must end and stop doing some of those things. Not in order to go to heaven, because I want to honor Christ. When you're saved, your purpose becomes, I want to honor the King. I want to do what's right. I want to bring gifts to the King. And the gift, you're going to see Jesus says, obedience would be the greatest gift you could give to the King. And so he says this. He says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He's saying this. This isn't about Jew, Gentile, male, female, red and yellow, black and white. This is about people that are in Christ. Put on, therefore. So you see this? You got to put on. You got to put off some things, but you better fill it. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, those that have been chosen to serve. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. You got to put these on. You want to put off the things of the flesh. I could take you to that passage, but bowels of mercies from the innermost core of you. Have mercy. Have mercy. Don't give people what they deserve. People are going to be jerks. I'll be a jerk at times, far more than I want to be. Have mercy on me. Don't give me what I deserve, because that's what Christ did. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Bowels of mercy, where you feel it from the innermost core. Bowels of mercy. Put on kindness, humbleness of mind. The Bible says, let each esteem others better than themselves. It's this. It's not about us. Put on mercy. Put on kindness. Put on humbleness of mind. Put on meekness. Put on long-suffering, forbearing one another. That's, in essence, putting up with one another. We must get along. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. That's the word for agape. That's the sacrificial giving love of Christ. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Here's what God says. He says, when you stop doing these things, you must, so imagine we have drug addicts and they want to stop doing drugs. They get saved. They want to stop doing drugs. They want to stop smoking marijuana, whatever it might be. It is, you're going to stop that. You need to replace it. And these are the things the Bible says. Replace it with kindness. Replace it with humbleness of mind. You can't just empty yourself. You must fill yourself with the things of God, the things of Christ. It's a simple principle. We're going to finish, and I'll give you my last point so that I won't belabor that. But you guys have all heard garbage in, garbage out. That's how computers are designed. Do you know what these last passages in verse 33, 34, 35, and 36? Light in, light out. Darkness in, darkness out. That's what that says. You see, understand this. We must empty ourselves of sin. You know, what I'm talking about is of selfishness, of unkindness, of all the opposites of these, of being uncaring. You know, bowels of mercies mean I care. I want what's good. I want to love. I want to love those that are unkind to me, because that's what Jesus did for me. You see, that's where Christianity really becomes distinct, really becomes outstanding. When I love people that are unlovable, when I love people that are hateful to me. See, it's easier for me to love people that love me, but it's so Christian, it's so Christ-like when we love others that are hateful to us. And so we must put that on. We must put it on consciously. We must put it on delightfully. And so it's that simple principle. But Jesus says this, and I don't know if my preaching is going to change, but this passage, as I've meditated on it, just look at verse 33, and I'll finish my last point before I even get to my second point. Look at verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. And so I love what follows, but my tendency, and I think there's a place in preaching like this, my tendency saying, hey, is your light shining? Are you hiding under a bushel, right? I mean, so, you know, I had Elia in, so, you know, she, I don't know how, but we watched this video. I've got the joy down in my heart, right? And so if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack, you know, so we have a good time with that, right? But this little light of mine, too. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. So I'd be like, is your light shining? But here's what the Bible would indicate. Oh, if you're taking in the light of Christ, if you're taking in Christ, your light automatically shines. You see, it's not that I have to wake up and all of a sudden say, I'm just going to make sure my light shines. No, if you're putting light in, light comes out. That's the reality of the Scriptures. And so if it's too much labor for you to make your light shine, the question is, what is it that you're taking in that makes it so difficult for your light to shine? If I am truly focused on Christ and I'm enamored with Christ and Christ truly is my delight and I'm bringing all that Christ is into myself, my light will automatically shine. That's the Scriptures. You see, I've put off the old and I've put on Christ, and Christ is my delight. Christ is my focus. Christ is my love. My light will shine without effort. I mean, you light a candle. I've never heard a candle groaning, have you, Joe?
Yay!
I guess if they could speak, they'd be like, why did you light me on fire? But it's it just happens, right? Light the wick. Candle gives light. If we are focused on Christ, then we will shine. Again, it's put off the old, put on Christ. And you say, you know, it's this. It all comes down to love. And love in action, you see. It's when you put off the old things and just say, I'm not doing that anymore. You will find you'll have more time than you could ever imagine. Examine your life and find out, what am I wasting my life with? What am I wasting my time on? And then you'll say this, and here's the killer. You'll say, I'm bored. I'll just be clear. When we spend time on social media, we're bored. Social media, you don't need it and I don't need it. But I will guarantee you, it's absorbed hundreds of hours. And so, again, I'm not telling you it's sinful necessarily, but I'll just tell you, we say we don't have time. Oh, I think we have time. What are we putting into our minds? What are we putting into our lives? That's what's going to shine. And remember this, what he says to put on bowels of mercy, kindness. It's this, it is love in action. You want to put off those things, but I'm telling you, if all you're doing is putting off, you're missing it. We must put on Christ. We must put on His love. I challenge you with this. Oh, are you a Christian? Do you love the Lord? Do you want your life to be about Jesus Christ and put off and put on? Jesus didn't come empty, but He came to fill. Second thing I just want you to see with this passage. So Jesus bookends that, and here's our problem. We praise man and we miss the mark. Praising man and missing the mark. Look at verse 27. And it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice, and I think she was trying to do a good thing. She said, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. She said, hey, your mama. And who was she talking about? Mary. She said, blessed is Mary. And the Bible, I think, would agree with that. That she was a blessed woman by being able to deliver Jesus, right? There's something better. Now, this is crazy. Here's what the Bible would suggest. Now, this, have you ever thought about this? You and I can be more blessed than Mary. You're saying, what? To be the one chosen to deliver the Messiah in flesh, the Holy Spirit would come upon her and she would be a virgin and deliver the Messiah in flesh. What's better? Jesus says, yea, rather, let me tell you something better. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. It is better to hear and obey than be used of God. It's better to hear and obey than be used of God. God would want us to listen and obey. I'm telling you, it's life is that simple. I want to ask you this. I get phone calls and texts. I love this. I can't go into details, but we prayed on Wednesday night specifically for names, and I got a text from a guy that was on that list that I hadn't connected with in months. I think I scared him because I said, wow, this is so interesting that you text me. I said, we just prayed about you, prayed for you, and he didn't respond. And but he's back in my life. And so here's the reality. When I talk to people, it's this. I always go back to the basics. So I want you to think about this. Jesus said, better that you hear and obey than be the one that God chose to deliver the Messiah. I don't know. It's one of the top honors that God could ever give. Wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't you agree? And he says, it's better to hear and obey. And so here's what I want to tell you. Where are you not obeying God. Just, you know, and I want you to tell you this. It's not that God is striking out and punishing you when you're not obeying. It's as simple as this. I was thinking about this past week. It's sort of like God designed us, right? Imagine I'm a car, and I decide I'm not going to put oil in the car. And then the car breaks down, and I blame God. Oh, let's say I put oil in the car, and I go, I'm not doing antifreeze. I'm not doing coolant. And the car breaks down, and I blame God. God has given us commandments for our good. He has designed us. Which ones are you ignoring today? You know, I mean, the five bases of Christianity, I could go through them. I mean, it's this. It's, you know, feasting on God's word. Feasting on God's word. You think you can make it without being in God's word? I'm telling you, if you're not, and I know the flesh will fight you every step of the way. If you're not in the word of God every day, I don't expect your life to go as well as it could. God wants to talk to you. Prayer. God wants you to be a church rat. And so you're here on Sunday morning, but here's what I want to tell you. What about this? Some of you, I'm telling you, it's not God punishing you, but the first step of obedience is baptism. And some of you say, not doing it. And I love you. Keep coming. You keep coming. It's not God punishing you, but if you don't obey God, don't expect the full blessings that will come by obedience. He says it's more blessed to hear and obey. And some of you go, nope, I'm smarter than God. I'm telling you what I'm doing. God's going to accept it, and that's okay. I wouldn't expect the blessings of God to fall on you the same. Be a church rat. Always be here. Some of you, Sunday morning only. Again, I'm telling you, I'm not beating you up. I want to help you understand this. This is not a church. It's not a tent. It's go back to the basics. We hear and decide, I'm partly in. And I wonder why my life isn't what I want it to be. You choose to obey God partially, expect partial blessings. He's not punishing you. It's like the car without the oil, the car without the coolant, the car without the wheels, the car without the brakes. You've decided, I don't need brakes. Let's see how that works. I just want to encourage you. It is simple obedience. God is so, I'm going to say this, He's made it so simple for us. God's not simple, but He's made it so simple for us. So feasting on God's word. So many people tell me, they go, you know, I just get God's word in you. Whether you listen to it, read it, get it in you. Get it in you. Get it in you. Find a way. Ask God. Oh, God, help me to get your word in me. I need to focus on Christ. I need to be dwelling on Christ. Feasting on God's word, prayer, be a church rat, be a Great Commission Christian. There's a preacher in South Africa. And I love this guy. He didn't want to meet with me again. And I really, you know, sometimes I'm unpredictable to my own self, right? Unpredictable to my own self. So we had a chat, and he cried. Because he was focused on something that I thought was dumb. Okay? And I asked him, I said, let me just ask you this. I said, who are you teaching that are lost? And I said, who are you even trying to teach that are lost? And he said, no one. And I said, you're worried about this stupid thing. And you're in stark disobedience with God, and you expect your church to strive for people? I told him, I said, look, God's told us to teach all nations. God told us to teach the lost. And I'm telling you, I love this. God, there may be a season in your life where you don't have a lost person to teach. Are you at least praying about it and striving to find lost people to teach? I'll tell you, there's a sowing in tears. There's a season, but are you giving up? Have you said, I'm not doing it. I don't do that. I don't do that stuff. I'm not teaching. I'm not going on outreach. I'm not doing this. You're part of a church that goes on outreach. You know what I'd tell you to do? You should probably go on outreach. Now, we got a number that will be back doing master clubs, but it's this. All I'm telling you is this. Why do we think we can pick and choose and get God's blessings as though we're doing everything right? He hasn't made it complicated. And so we don't have outreach again as a body until the spring. But he says, it's more blessed if you hear and you obey. Just simple, right? It's so, you know, we got feasting on God's word. We got prayer, be a church rat, Great Commission Christian, teaching the lost and teaching the saved. Every single person that is a believer, you ought to be teaching somebody, at least begging God to give you and trying. All you can do is ask people, will you let me teach? Will you spend time with me in the Bible? Are you at least trying? That's all I'm telling you is if you pray about it and you ask God, oh God, give me lost people to teach, and you are actually asking lost people to teach, I believe this, in due time, God will answer that prayer. You know why? Because it's his will. He doesn't command something that he won't fulfill. But are you trying, or have you given up? And then fifth is be a steward of God's word. Time, talents, and treasure. Right? Time. You know, I mean, is your life dominated with the things of God? Time. Your talents. What are you good at? How do you use that for God? How do you use that for God? Are you using it for his honor and his glory? And then the treasure. Some of you don't give. And look, I promise you this. We don't need your money, but you need to give. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. God is not needing your money, but I'm telling you this, you expect the blessings of God and you don't want to give financially, it's going to hurt you. I preach about this less than any other preacher I've ever met. I think it's going to be to my peril because it's this. Is if you think you can serve God and not give financially, then you're kidding yourself. That's why would I tell you this? Because Jesus says it's good to hear and good to obey. Why do we pick and choose? Why do we pick and choose? And I love this. I tell people this all the time. I'm one of the most blessed pastors ever. I've got people that they're trying and I've never known of a congregation that you're trying to reach souls, and I love it. Don't be discouraged. Here's the key. You should be discouraged if you're not trying. You know, if can you think when's the last time you tried to interact with a lost person and actually see if they would let you teach them? Are you even praying about it? Are you even trying? You know, and so I know that's a huge emphasis of Hope Baptist Church, but I'm convinced of this, that it's going to be to your betterment. Oh, I love seeing people saved, and I want to see people saved. But you think we can pick and choose? See, here's the key. Oh, so good! Look at that! Praising man, and Jesus said, hey, you know what? Don't get focused on how I'm using people. How about this? Are you obeying? Let me just tell you this. It's, you know, we'll finish with this, with the light in, light out, darkness in, darkness out. Are we making God serve, use us as a dirty cup? You want to limit your effectiveness for Christ? You want to limit your honor to God? Then you just keep doing secret sins. You just keep walking around. You just keep not honoring God. And it will, and then you wonder, Why is my life not what I think it should be? Here's the key. If we just simply obey God, I'm not saying everything's going to be fixed. I don't know what's going to happen with Chris's dad. For the wages of sin is death. We're all going to die. We pray for God's will. We pray that her dad will come out of this surgery, and he is a servant of the Lord. I love her dad. We're all going to die. It's what life's about, right? But I ask you this, are we living for God? If you want to limit your effectiveness, then just keep waddling in sin. You're going to see Jesus even emphasizes repentance here in just a second. But it's this, praising man and missing the mark. Praising man and missing the mark. Second thing I want you to see, seeking a sign but missing the big picture. Here's what Jesus said, verse 29 and 30. He says, this is an evil generation. Those are direct words. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. I want you to understand this. The sign they were seeking, Jesus did all kinds of visible things. His miracles. The voice of God from heaven. John the Baptist. Jesus was the most visible, most obvious prophet, most obvious person ever in the history of Israel. But what they wanted military signs. They wanted you to conquer the Romans, or they wanted manna from heaven. They wanted free fish and chips. They wanted it like the Old Testament Israelites in the 40 years. They said, what sign? What are you going to do for us? And Jesus says, I am the sign. See, are we seeking Jesus for what he might do for us? Or we could seeking Jesus for the joy of being with Christ. They were surrounded with Jesus. Unimpressed. Unimpressed. What could he do for them? See, it's about honoring Christ. He said, this is an evil generation, our nation, and it's impacted our churches, that we are more enamored and more impressed about the things of this world than Jesus. No, they're not offended. They have a thing to go. So it's I was going to make a joke. But if I'd been talking about Mary and he left out, you know, he just asked me the testimony of Nassim before he came to Christ. But it is, understand this. Are we focused on Christ? Or do we abandon Jesus when things don't go our way? You see, I think we're the evil generation. Listening to wise men, but ignoring the wise one, verse 31. This is the Queen of Sheba. Mark this down. Go back and read this later. I was going to take you there, but 1 Kings chapter 10, don't turn there. 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, talks about the Queen of Sheba. She goes and visits Solomon. She had heard about all of his greatness, all of his wisdom, and she came with a ton of questions. And she laid out all her questions to Solomon, and he answered them all. And she said, it was not even half of what I was told. She said she was blown away and she believed everything that Solomon told her. And Jesus says, a greater than Solomon is here and you won't listen to me. The Queen of Sheba listened to me. The Queen of Sheba came and visited and she was blown away with the wisdom of Solomon. And Solomon's wisdom is a joke compared to Jesus. You see, we'll listen to everybody else. It blows my mind. So I'm going to pick on the young people because it's better than picking on the old people since I'm part of that. And it's this. It's so interesting. You know, it's like everybody. You got your way of raising your kids, man. That's great. Because you're listening to the world. I just be careful. Here's what blows my mind. People listen to the world and they won't spank their kids. You don't spank your kids for the right reason and be you know, I think it's the rear end, right? I mean, it's really specific. You know, it's so that they will feel pain and rebellion. You think you're smarter than God, period. I don't care about your culture. I don't care about how you were raised. I just know what the Bible says. And so it's I'm just telling you, and you know what? Maybe your kids will turn out okay, not because of you. Right? I'm just telling you, we'll listen to the world rather than Jesus. I mean, it's unbelievable. Right? Whatever the world says, you know, we'll do. And we won't listen to Jesus. I'm afraid that's the problem with America, the problem with South Africa, the problem with the world is Christians. If we did what God wanted us to do, God's the same God that saved 5,000 in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. He's the same God. He's the same God. It's the same gospel. If we are just faithful, right? If we're faithful and we do what's right, it's why I look in the mirror all the time and I go, you know, the problem's what's looking back at me in that mirror. It's not God. We haven't turned Fairfield upside down, but I believe we have all that we need to turn Fairfield upside down. I hear this all the time. And so they say, well, the young people are coming in droves to Jesus Christ. I said, I'll know that when they stop going to the bars. I know that when they'll stop fornicating. Boy, I didn't know that in South Africa. They didn't know what fornicating was, but boy, then when I lowered the boom, what it was, they're like, you know. So I stopped using the word fornication. They didn't know that word. You guys know what that is, right? Do I need to lower the boom? Living with somebody, sleeping with somebody that you're not married to. It's one of the great sins of America. It's this. I'll tell you, when Jesus comes, he changes things. When Jesus, I'm telling you, if Fairfield's turned upside down, the bars will close. If Fairfield's turned upside down, it will be noticeably different. The streets will be safer. Christians aren't perfect, but I'll tell you, they are clearly different. History will validate. Wherever true Christianity went, women benefit. Christianity's not anti-women. Christianity is pro-women. God says this, you better do right according to them. God speaks of that. You know why? Because men have abused women throughout the centuries, throughout the millennia, because we have more physical strength, and we take that and we abuse that, and it's called sin. But when God gets a hold of your life, you'll treat your woman better. I'll treat my woman better. We'll treat women better. We'll be kinder, and we won't abuse women the way we do today. It'll be right. Who are we listening to? You see, it's the issue. Stefan, I may have told you this. He is one of the preachers at Grace Baptist. It's more of a city church and more of the Afrikaans there. And he was a biologist before God had him preach. He's doing a study, and he's just gathering information about the effects of social media on the brain. Social media is not bad. It is so detrimental. You're addicted to it. Just quit. How about go a month without social media? You can't. That's the definition of an addiction. Just stop. And then tell me after a month if you want to start again. I'm not preaching rules here. I'm telling you this. The devil is smarter than us. He has a plan, and he's destroying our minds. We can't sit in a 45-minute sermon. Our kids can't listen. They have to have a tablet. They have to have a phone. And we give it to them. And the devil has a plan. It doesn't have to be evil. And he's destroying us, messing with our minds, because he has a bigger plan than we do. Understand, it's this: what are you filling your mind with? Are you spending more time on the internet and social media than you are in the Word of God? Then expect this, that's what's going to come out of you. This is the reality of life. This is taking the scriptures that are timeless and just saying this: what are we putting in us? We might be listening to wise people, but we're ignoring the wise one. You see, I tell you this, I still believe and I still dream. I believe some of you do too. Because if you guys are as bored as you look this morning, and I know Thanksgiving week might be tougher on you, right? But if you guys, now come in there, hang in there with me. You know why I still preach? Because I still believe we can turn Fairfield upside down. I believe God just might get a hold of my heart, and I might get right with him, and I might live the way I'm supposed to live, and I might treat my wife better, and I still believe we serve a great and mighty God, and I'm going to go to my grave. I want to be part of that. Do you want to be part of that? Do you actually believe that? I do. Here's what the Bible said. Just hear and obey. Just hear and obey. God will use us. He will use us. But who are we listening to? Keep listening to the world, and we expect something different. South Africa was good for me. Zero social media. I didn't miss anything. Nothing. Nothing. The only thing I cared about was I did want the government to be back in business so that my flight might land better in Chicago. So it was perfect. God blessed. It got running again before he came back. Who are we listening to? And then I may do this next week because of time. Ignoring the critical importance of repentance. Look at this in verse 32. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And if you ask me, I preached the story of Jonah to these seniors in South Africa that I had for 30 straight nights. And I think Jonah's the worst preacher in the Bible. I do. I think this guy was the most hateful preacher I've ever seen in my life. I think he outdoes some of the street preachers. I'm not against street preaching, but some of these street preachers, they are Jonah incarnate. They're like, I love telling you how much I hate you. You know, they don't say it that way. Street preaching can be done right, but it ought not to be done like Jonah. Now, you know what? You know, I never criticize anybody, even if they're standing up there with hate, because I'm like, there's Jonah. Oh, God, you're amazing. Use Jonah. I'm not going to go criticize him. I'm not. God's bigger than me, isn't he? Jonah preached the wrong way. I mean, Jonah's probably cussing at him. I mean, Jonah was just such a bad preacher.
He's like, I can't wait till you die. 39 days. Woohoo! And you're going in ashes. I'm going to build a booth and just take a look. And they listen to Jonah, Mr. Hater. And Jesus says, and you won't listen to me. We sit in church week after week after week. And we keep sinning the same sin week after week after week. It's just as simple as this. You're not listening to Jesus. Repentance. Turning from it. We're not listening to Jesus. Jesus isn't that important to us. I know this. I'm preaching the next verses. I love our church. It feels like I had an agenda today. I feel like I'm more negative today than usual. You're like, no, this is about pretty much the next thing. But I want us to get it. He's speaking to Israel, the people that should get it. They were immersed in truth forever. A couple thousand years when Jesus came. Well, Baptists, we've been immersed in truth forever. A couple thousand years as I speak now. And yet, Nineveh listens to Jonah, and we won't listen to Jesus. Then the final thought, light in, light out, darkness in, darkness out. Look at verse 36, and I'll close with this. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, and when the bright shining of a candle doth, when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. You want to be used of God. Fill yourself with the light of Christ. Fill yourself with the love of Christ. Fill yourself with the focus on Christ. Empty yourself of the bad. Fill yourself with Christ. If you don't, and you want to put away sin, and you don't fill it with Christ, you'll fill it with something else, and here's the likelihood, you'll be worse than you were originally. Talked to a former alcoholic in South Africa, and I said, is your life better? He said, absolutely. I said, but you're going to hell. Because he understood the gospel. I said, your life may be better this side of heaven, but you're going to hell, and if you're not careful, you will fill that void with something worse. We're listening to the wrong people, focused on the wrong one. If we want to be used of God, Jesus will be our light. Jesus will be our focus. Jesus is the one we listen to. Jesus is the one. I'm just telling you this. If you really want to know Jesus, you're going to get this figured out. If you say, I've always struggled being the Word of God, welcome to my world. Before I was a pastor, welcome to my world. God helped me figure it out. You better figure it out. Get God's word in you. Get the light of Christ in you. Get the love of Christ in you. Stop thinking about the bad things. Start thinking on the things of God. Your life will change, and you'll never regret it. But you know what? You know why we don't do that? We're satisfied. Satisfied. Satisfied until something happens. See, you know what's going to be the joy? I pray this happens one day, that I'm walking with God and something terrible happens. I don't have to wonder, because I think this is a bad thought anyway. Did God do that because of this? Probably not. Just know this. We blame God for a lot. But if you're walking with God, you'll be like, I trust this is for my good, for my refinement. Help me to endure this. Help me to delight in this. Help me to honor you. And whatever comes my way, I want to focus on Christ. Greater than Solomon's here. Greater than Jonah's here. And we ignore him. If you're lost this morning, I don't blame you for being lost. Very few Christians, very few people have such a love for Christ that you want to be like them. You guys will know. See, I preach to myself all the time. If I begin to really live what I preach, you'll know a difference. You'll see a difference. And the light that will come from me will be so bright. It'll pierce the darkness. See the key to life? Believe God. And say, if I do one thing the rest of my life, I want to know the Christ of the Bible. I want to know Him with all my heart. And nothing else matters. And when I know Him, I'll obey Him.